Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How many of you have had enough of God? How many people can't get enough of God? I mean, we don't want to just have God. We want to overflow with God. I said, we don't want to just have God. We want to overflow with God. We were created to overflow with Him. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and that they that He's talking about is you and I, that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly, or as other translations say, overflowing. So we're to be overflowing, not just to have God. It's not good enough just to be saved. And say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. That's nice. You weren't created to just have the Holy Spirit. You were created to be overcome by the Holy Spirit. You were created to overflow with the Holy Spirit. That's what you were created to be. Anything else is just being religious. And so it's a good checkup on ourselves. We don't want to, you know, we got to protect ourselves from just being religious, going through the motions of Christianity and not overflowing with God, thinking, well, yeah, I had an experience with God and I prayed this prayer and yeah, I talk with God. And no, we want to be overflowing with Him. We're not going to settle for just having God or just praying. We want to be saturated with Him. I say we want to be saturated with Him. We don't want to just be like, you know, the grass that has the dew on it. We don't want just the dew. We want to be drenched, right? Just like the rains the last couple days. My goodness, it's a drenching. It would just come down so hard and so fast and so furious. It just drenched the place. That's how it's supposed to be with God. We're to live in a continual state of being drenched. Well, what do you think? You think you're supposed to live in a continual state of a trickle? How you just supposed to be in a place where God just trickles on you, and every once in a while you go, you know, you get a little tickle because of His trickle? Come on, somebody. That's being as cold as an icicle. Get filled. Get hot. Get on fire. Get overflowing with the Holy Spirit. We're to be overflowing with Him, overwhelmed with Him. That's what God's looking to do in the lives of His people. And He wants His people to increase in number. In other words, He wants us to overflow into other people's lives. He wants us to be affecting the world around us. God wants to bring about a great awakening. He wants to awaken the world to the reality of Him. He's been here all along. He's been all around us. We look up. We see the sun. We see the stars at night. We see such an awesome creator in the creation. And yet so many people are just unaware of Him. They're just sleeping. They're just sleeping their days away, unaware of God. It's time for a great awakening. People are waking up that God is really real. God is really here. There's a great move of God coming. There's signs of it all around. And Jesus said we should be able to recognize what God's doing by understanding the signs of the times. And there are all kinds of signs of the time that we're living in. And we talked about last time how over in Hosea chapter 6 in verse 2, this is something the prophets prophesied thousands of years ago that would come, and I believe, in the day that we're living in right now. And we see the signs of it. You know, when the prophets spoke, like here in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, they spoke words with prophetic significance. And he said, after 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. And of course, we know that's prophetic of Jesus. Jesus, on the third day, rose from the dead. But what's so awesome about the Word of God is that it is both past, present, and future. It covers every time frame of humanity, the past, the present, and the future. Because God himself, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Well, if he's the beginning and the end, then he's everything in between. That's who he is. And so he says, after 2 days, he will revive us. Now, we understand the third day Jesus rose from the dead, but what is this 2 days? After 2 days, we looked at over in 2 Peter, we came over to the New Testament, looked at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So how many people know it has been 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth? In fact, it was 2,000 years ago at this time that Jesus walked the earth. So we are in that second day prophetically, where the prophets talked about a revival, a reviving of us. And then it says, on the third day, he will raise them up. How many people know Jesus is coming back? And the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise. And this corruptible, these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. We're going to experience a physical resurrection ourselves, just like Jesus, when he returns. So there is a raising up of the body of Christ. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, the body of Christ that is here in the earth is going to be raised up when Jesus returns, which would be in another 1,000 years. Which would also fit with the book of Revelation that talks about a millennial reign after the great tribulation, which is soon coming. A millennial reign, which means millennial is 1,000 years. So it's 1,000-year reign. So there's going to be a revival 2,000 years, sometimes 2,000 years after Christ, and then another 1,000 years after the millennial reign, Jesus is going to return. So there's prophetic significance in all these scriptures. And then he says this in verse 3 of Hosea 6. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. The Bible talks about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He comes to us, the Lord comes to us like rain. Of course, we saw that in Acts, the 2nd chapter. The Lord came, he poured out his Spirit on the disciples that were in the upper room shortly after Jesus had risen from the dead. And the apostle Peter stood up and said, this is for you and your children and to all future generations, to those who are afar off. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. But that was the early rain that the prophets were talking about. Then it's saying that there's going to be another heavier rain later on. Later on down the road, I believe we're in that time right now. Again, that second day where we're going to see a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit than even the disciples saw in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. The prophet Zechariah said in chapter 10, Zechariah 10 verse 1, he said, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Notice there's still an asking. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It's so important for us to ask. And he says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. So again, it's recognizing the time and the season that we're in so that we can begin to ask. Get in faith about it. Ask in faith and believe God for this heavier outpouring of his Spirit upon the earth. How many people know we need it? We need a heavy outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But again, it starts with us. We have to ask, and we have to ask in faith. Remember, Jesus said over in Matthew 18, verse 18, he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, what you do on earth is going to determine what takes place from heaven. So an outpouring from heaven, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to first start on the earth. And we see an example of this over in Genesis chapter 7 with Noah. How many people know Noah was living in the end times? He was living in the end times of his time. You and I are living in the end time of our time. And Noah understood the time. He heard from God. He received direction. Would God give Noah understanding of the times and not give us understanding if we're determined to walk with God and know God? No, God's going to show us just like he showed Noah. Noah knew the times and he prepared. By faith, he prepared for what God showed him was coming. He got in position for it. And that's what you and I also need to do. We need to get in position for it. And what came in the days of Noah? Well, it was an outpouring, wasn't it? It was a literal, not spiritual, but physical outpouring of rain. An abundance of rain that came upon the earth and flooded the earth. Well, there's an outpouring of God, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come, and it's going to cover the whole earth. The prophets talked about that. They said the whole earth is filled with his glory. The whole earth is to be filled with the glory of God, which is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. His Spirit being poured out and just filling the earth, just saturating this world. Manifestations, mighty miracles, signs and wonders, demonstrations of the power of God in the earth, waking the world up to the reality of our God, that he is alive, he is real, that you were created. You did not evolve. Your ancestors did not crawl up on the beach and start losing legs and arms and got down to two arms and two legs and ended up becoming what we are today. This is what's being taught throughout the world. This is what's being taught in our public schools that everybody sends their kids to. And we don't say anything about it. We let our kids sit there and let these people tell them that you evolved from sea goo. And then you grew and entered the zoo. And over time, you became you. And we sit here and we listen, we allow these people who call themselves professors and brilliant, intelligent, to sit there and teach utter nonsense. The world is in desperate need of a revival. The world needs a great awakening to the reality of God. And God so loves the world that that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to wake them up to the reality of him, to the reality of his son, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Why? So that they could be saved. So they could be saved, come to their senses, and walk in the light of God's glory. Walk in his goodness. Walk in his manifested awesomeness. That's what you and I were created for. We were created for the glory. I said we were created for the glory. Remember, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The reason why Jesus came was to take the sin away so that we can be reconnected to the glory. Because that's what we fell from. But that's what we're to be a part of. We're to be a part of the glory of God. The glory of God is to be all over our lives. Saturated with him. Saturated, overcome, intoxicated with the presence of the Lord, with the goodness of God, walking in such light that there's no room for confusion. There's no room for darkness. Demons, devils, they're called spirits of darkness. They're of darkness. But we can be so full of God's light that darkness, devils, have no place in us. No place in us. How'd you like to live in a place where the devil has no place? Well, over in, what is it, 1 John? It talks about how we can get to a place where the wicked one touches us not. I mean, he can't even get near us. How many people know he couldn't get near Jesus? He saw Jesus coming from afar. You know, some demons would be in somebody. They'd be possessed of the devil. And Jesus from afar, they'd see Jesus coming from afar and they'd cry out, ah! What have we to do with you? They'd panic when they saw Jesus coming. Why can't it be that way with you? Why can't you cause a panic in the bowels of hell? Why can't you cause a panic where demons are hanging out and causing problems? We should cause the devil, who's causing problems, to panic when we show up. Because we carry the power of God. We walk in the glory of God. We have the answer. Jesus is the answer. We have their deliverance. We have the light that casts out all darkness, that drives out all darkness. So here in Noah's day, we know about the rain coming down. But notice in Genesis 7, in verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life. Again, 6 is significant as well. We're living in the 6th day of creation. 6,000 years since Adam. So in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Notice that. A lot of times folks just hear about the rain coming down, but notice something happened before the rain came down. What happened before the rain came down? And again, this is prophetic of what's coming in these end times. History has a way of repeating itself. Notice it says, first, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Something happened on the earth first. Remember Matthew 18, 18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, are wells of salvation. The prophet Isaiah talks about it. We are wells of salvation. We carry salvation in us. We carry the water of the word on the inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We are wells of salvation. But notice what Jesus said over in John chapter 4, verse 14. He says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, and just so happens when he's telling this, he is sitting by a well. It's all prophetic. Jesus is sitting by a well, and he tells this woman, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, we've received the water of salvation if we've made Jesus the Lord of his life. If we've opened our hearts and we've received his Holy Spirit, we've become these wells of salvation. We have drank of that water. That water of life. Has anybody drank of the waters of life? Hallelujah. Man, you drink of it, and it is what satisfies you. The things of this world will never satisfy you. But with this water, there is peace. Endless peace. Eternal peace. Eternal joy. So he says, man, I don't know, man. I don't always walk. I know I've drank of that water, but I'm not always walking in peace. To tell you the truth, Pastor, I came in here quite an anxious mess today. And yet I know I've drank of that water. I know I have salvation. Well, you got to drop the bucket down. And you got to draw out from that well. You need to be drinking out of the well. You are a well, but you got to drink the water that's in the well. You got to draw it out. I said you got to draw it out. You got to drink it. You got to partake of it. You got to put yourself in remembrance of what is on the inside of you. Who's living in you? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why would I get anxious about anything in this world when I got the greater one who's greater than the world living in me? You'd never get anxious about what's going on in the world if you kept yourself aware of the greater one who's on the inside of you. If you kept drinking, kept partaking of that water of life that's on the inside of you, you can remain in a continual peace, a place of continual peace and joy. 24/7. No excuse for losing your peace. No excuses for losing your joy. Some people don't like that. They like excuses. But you shouldn't want an excuse. You should want to say, no, no more excuses. I'm going to hold myself accountable to live a life of continual peace and continual joy. Therefore, I'm going to continually draw out of this well of salvation that God has made me to be. I'm going to draw on this life of God that's in me. And as we do that, as we're faithful to do that, notice what Jesus said. He said, this water that is in you, he said, it will become in him. It'll become in you a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What's in you should get full of such pressure that you just can't hold it in anymore. You know, it's like one of these artesian wells. You know? I mean, they're under some serious pressure. And they're just ready to just explode. That's the kind of well that you are. We're not just some little, you know, stone well over there. No, man. We're to be an artesian well. Steam coming at her. We just get in the presence of God, man. And that water starts boiling. I believe God wants to get some of you boiling. Boiling with excitement. Boiling with righteous indignation for having less than God's best in your life. Some of you should just get absolute boiling mad about it and just look and think, what in the world have I been doing? 24/7, continual peace and joy. Where have I been? Man, I'm going to have me that. That's right, the greater one's in me. Yeah, that's right. He's in me. What am I worried about? What am I anxious about? What am I afraid of? The greater one's in me. Come on. It's starting to bubble. It's starting to boil. The steam is starting to go. And next thing you know, you're going to blow. And man, you become a fountain. You become the witness that God has created you to be. Don't you think by now, you and I, 2,000 years later, should be a greater, more effective, more zealous, more fired up witness than the early church? I mean, they experienced the new birth. They experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And man, they went out and turned the world upside down. I mean, they were being severely threatened, told if you talk anymore in that name of Jesus, we'll have you thrown in jail, we'll execute you. And Peter looked right back at him and said, we can't help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We can't help it. We can't help it. Jeremiah the prophet, an Old Testament prophet, he said his word was in me like fire shut up in my bones. I was weary from holding it back. He was trying to hold it back because of his persecutors. Kept getting him in trouble. But he couldn't hold it back anymore. Man, it's time to boil. If these folks were boiling, you and I should be boiling. I said, you and I should be boiling. Staying on the stovetop of God's presence. Just staying in his presence. Temperature on high. I know it can get uncomfortable for the flesh. There's a lot of folks, they want to keep it nice and comfortable. They like that lukewarm place. They like that nice, comfortable place. But that's not the place you were created to be. I said, that's not the place you were created to be. You were created to be in that place of being boiling hot, overflowing, steam coming out. And that's exactly what happened in the days of Noah. The subterranean waters that were under the earth began to heat up. And to the point where the pressure got so great that the steam just shot through a crack in the crust of the earth, and man, it just ripped the surface of the earth apart. And this water came gushing out. It reached up into heaven, and it caused this water vapor that was over the earth, and that just all condensed and began to fall as rain upon the earth. It's the same thing with us today. As we ask in faith, as we cry out to God, as we desire His will and have more of Him, we're not going to settle for man's best. We've got to have God's best. We got to have God's presence. We got to have God's will. We don't want to just settle for what makes man happy, what just makes our flesh happy. We want what makes our spirits happy. And the only thing that's going to make our spirits happy is Him. More of Him. More of Him. We were created for the glory. We're going to walk in the glory. We're going to walk in the glory of God. The psalmist said, I will not be satisfied until I awake in His likeness. I will not be satisfied. We got to shake ourselves from being satisfied with status quo Christianity. We got to shake ourselves from just allowing ourselves to be complacent spiritually. It's easy to do because so many people are. But we got to shake ourselves. We got to keep ourselves on the burner. We got to keep it on high. We got to keep thinking on God. We got to keep filling ourselves up with Him. We got to get ourselves boiling over, crying out to Him, Lord, more of You in my life. Manifest more in my life. You are a God of power. You are a God of more than enough. You're a God of too much, Lord. Lord, I'm created to overflow with You. I got to see You overflowing in my life. I got to see You manifesting in my life, Lord. I got to see You. I don't want to just see me. I'm not going to be happy just seeing me. I got to see Him. How many people are just happy seeing you? I don't want to just see you. I know. I think you're a nice guy, lady, whatever. I think you're nice, but I'm not satisfied with seeing you. That's not nice enough. I got to see Him. I got to see Him breaking through the crust of your earthen vessel. Breaking through. I got to see God breaking through, coming out of you. I got to see you being transfigured where He's coming forth, where He's manifesting through you, where we're seeing His goodness, His life, His power. Come on, Mark chapter 16, He said, believers, this is the great commission. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And He said, cast out demons. Drive them out. Don't be tormented by them. Drive them out. He said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Your hands. How is your hands going to cause a sick person to recover? How in the world is that going to happen? It can't just be you. I said, it can't just be you. If it's just you, then people aren't going to get healed. You better have a needle in your hand with some medicine in it or some kind of pills or something. Right? But he didn't say give pills to people. He didn't say give injections to people. He said lay hands on them. Give God to them. Give God to them. Come on, you well of salvation. Give God to them. Give God to them. Jesus said, whatever house you enter, say peace to this house. And He said, if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. Man, I like that. You walk into a place, say, peace. And something happens to the place. Something happens to the very atmosphere in that place. Because you're a believer. I said, you're a believer filled with Him and overflowing with Him. I'm tired of being sealed up. I'm tired of God's people being sealed up wells. It's time to break it open. It's time. We're in that time. I said, we're in that time. God wants to shake us. He wants to awake us. It's all going to start with the preaching of His word. He wants to wake us up. He wants to shake us. He wants us to realize our potential in Him. That we are created for the glory of God. That's what you and I have been created for. So we want to see that. We want to see the fountains spring up and the rains come down. Over in Psalm chapter 56. Psalm 56, we're seeing here that revival begins with you. It begins with us. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't start with God. It starts on the earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Psalm 56, verse 8, he says, "You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Here he's talking about tears being poured out to God. If you go to Psalm 126, verse 4, it says, "Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." So he's talking about tears that are like seeds being sown in the earth. "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." What are these sheaves that it's talking about? Well, throughout the word, Jesus likened sheaves and wheat, harvest, as people coming into the kingdom of God, people getting saved, people getting born again. So here it's talking about tears, crying out to God on behalf of the peoples of the world that are in captivity. Even God's people, so many are living in captivity, even though the Lord has set them free. He's given them the sword of his spirit. He's given them his word. He's given them his spirit. They're living in captivity. They're not utilizing what God has given them. And so we want to see those people set free. How bad do we want to see them set free? To the point where we're shedding tears, crying out to God in prayer, wanting to see captives set free, wanting to see ourselves walking in the liberty that Jesus died to give us. He's died, he hung on a cross to give us eternal life. That doesn't start when you go to heaven. That starts the day you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Eternal life. Unceasing, absolute fullness of life. That's for you and I right now. Eternal life. Abundant, overflowing life. That's for us right now. That's ours. We're to have that. And the more you realize that, the more you'll cry out to see it in your life. The more you'll cry out to see it in other people's lives. If you really don't have a vision for it, if you don't even know what belongs to you, what you've been created for, then you won't cry out for it. You'll just settle for where you're at. I'm good, man. Just give me some money. Give me a nice house. Give me a few nice things. I'm good. You don't have a vision. You don't know what you've been created for. But you hang around the Word of God, and you think on what the Lord has done for you and what he's provided for you and the level of living that you're supposed to be living in life, and you will become very dissatisfied very quickly. You'll become very unhappy with the way things are, and you'll begin to cry out for more. For more of him. More of him. See more of him in your life. Crying out to see him manifested in your life, in your world. And those tears go somewhere. Go back to Psalm 56, verse 8 again. Notice, he says, "You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle." Are they not in your book? In other words, it's all recorded. Your prayers are recorded. God's aware of all your praying. And even your tears, they're put in a bottle. You thought you just wiped them away, but God recorded them. And they're in his bottle. Isn't that what it says? They're in his bottle. Then you go to Job. Job chapter 38, verse 37. And he says, "Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven?" Notice, it's talking about an outpouring. Outpourings in the Word of God are likened to the Holy Spirit being poured out. God's life, his power being poured out. And here he says, who can pour out the bottles of heaven? What are these bottles? These bottles are the bottles that contain the tears of those that are crying out for more of God. And as we're crying out, as the church is crying out, all those tears are filling bottles in heaven. And when those bottles get full, something's going to happen. There's going to be an outpouring. I said there's going to be an outpouring. That outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that Him coming to us as rain, is the result of us coming to Him in faith, crying out to Him. You've got to have revival. You've got to see God in manifestation. You've got to see a move of the Spirit in your life, in your family's life. You've got to see America saved. You've got to see the power of God sweep through this nation. Because you know the answer isn't politically. It's political. It's spiritual. Thank God for the political process in our nation, but that's not what's going to save America. It's the spiritual. And we need to be more caught up in the spiritual, reading the good news, so that we're overflowing, crying out to God, shooting up our prayers to heaven, causing that rain to come down, causing that rain to come down upon the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to read one more scripture to you from Numbers chapter 21, verse 16. It says, from there they went to Beer. Didn't say they had a beer. It says they went to Beer, which is the well. Everybody say the well. Which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together and I'll give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well. All of you sing it. Spring up, O well. Hallelujah. I thought it's interesting that they called the well beer. Because you remember when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, everybody thought they were drunk. Peter had to get up and say, we're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. He said, but this is what the prophet Joel was talking about. That it'll come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So the Spirit of God being poured out causes people to be as drunk. In other words, intoxicated. Which means what? Overcome. Overcome. Overwhelmed with Him. It's like having a beer. Having a few beers. But friend, you don't need to have a few beers. It's so sad to see Christians drinking beer. It's so sad seeing Christians drinking wine. It's so sad. And what's sad about it is that there's something a whole lot better, a whole much higher. A whole lot higher. Guess I'm getting tipsy. A whole lot higher. A whole lot better. That'll overflow you, overwhelm you, intoxicate you, cause you to be comfortably numb, so that the problems of this world really aren't a problem to you anymore. But you can laugh in the face of calamity and know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. And you can sing, I got joy, joy down in my heart. Hallelujah, I got joy. Praise God. Now spring up, O well. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him a shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.